We sang a few moments ago Charles Wesley's words, which he wrote, "Born to set thy people free." I trust that you can actually enter into those words. And you've known the freedom that God has given to you as a fallen sinner who He, by His mercy, has saved you. But His mere birth did not accomplish that deliverance, did it? It would be the gospel as contained there in 1 Corinthians 15 that says, gospel had been delivered, as Paul wrote, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Psalm 40 records the divine counsels between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Eternal Father. Last week we saw that the psalm opens with the finality of Christ. That moment of resurrection, death and resurrection in the first three verses. We focused on the first five of last week. And so it is the resurrection. As we noted again, very often that's how God addresses truths in the Scripture. He gives you the end. He tells you what's going to happen at the end before filling in the details, which is exactly what happened in Genesis 3:15, which we pointed out last week. There He tells at the very beginning, the outset of the fall of man. He tells the end. How that there's going to be one born of woman who would crush the head of the serpent. So He tells you the end right from the beginning. Just as Isaiah 46 verses 9 and 10, He speaks of Himself in that way. He is the one that knows and declares the end from the beginning. So that is who my God is. And that's what He has done. And we already know the end of the story because we have the book that's declared it. So He brought me out, these wonderful words here in Psalm 40. Verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. And while you and I apply these things to and recognize that they express God's great salvation to us personally, we also recognize that the very psalm here is a conversation and recognition and part of the prayer of what the Lord Jesus prays as we're going to examine this here. Last week we looked at the first five verses and saw them as the song of victory because He is brought up. And a right perspective of the Christmas story begins with the need of our fallen world and our inability to deliver ourselves from its consequences. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And so this we pick it up here this morning in the sixth verse of this 40th psalm, which reads, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness to the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest." Let's pause there and pray. Father, again, I want to thank You for the Word of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for Your plan to come and to pay my debt and to pay it in full. I thank You that I'm a part of the great congregation that has had the gospel preached to me. And Lord, I thank you for the great church that you have birthed. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are building it. You must build it. And so I want to thank you again for the word of God read here today and for this great passage of scripture. Fill our hearts with this song, this new song, this praise to our God. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for how you came. You came in great humility, lived in humility, died in humility. And so as we worship you here in these particular days in this season, I pray that you'll help us, give us great opportunities of witness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as you read Psalm 40, you are recognizing here that the Lord Jesus Christ begins by telling you he's going to come out of the grave. The grave cannot hold him. I have power to lay my life down, Jesus said. I have power to take it again. And he would, and he did. And so our Savior tells us right from the beginning, and of course all this book, it's not about his birth. It's about his death. It's about what he would accomplish for us. But that could not have come without him being birthed. And in our passage here that we have read here this morning, we're going to see this. But I'm seeing this psalm in its line that it is a song of victory. As we have again already declared here, we ought to be singing the great joy that we have of his resurrection. Verse 3, Jesus is singing. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Have you not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the resurrection, of the Savior that is alive and has the power to transform your life and has transformed many? He sings about it. He sang when, on the day in which you were birthed spiritually, eternally, he had a song in his heart, singing, rejoicing that he had bought you with his own blood. He came out of that grave and he came out of that grave to purchase us. And so we rejoice. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. There is the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to, and now he incorporates us, usward. The great satisfaction that the Lord Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross includes us. But we pick it up here, as we've said here, in this sixth verse. It is the song of victory that we're singing, that he is singing, and we enter in and sing with him. The first thing I want to draw from this sixth verse is to see him as the surrendered servant. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. There was an imperfect picture here that had begun even in the garden when Adam and Eve were naked and needed clothing. They had chosen the wrong means by which to clothe themselves. Same problem goes on today, isn't it? Men and women are still trying to clothe themselves with something from this earth that will not satisfy them. They're still empty. Ask any missionary that has gone to the field and seen someone from a culture that has been idolatrous. And their testimony is this. Though all of their religious performance, they were never at peace. They could find no peace until they heard the gospel and they believed Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. And the burden rolled off just like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. And they were alive. For the first time in their life, they were alive. And they were free. And they, here with the psalmist, were brought up out of an horrible pit. And their feet sat established upon a rock. But all of those sacrifices of the Old Testament, they were an imperfect picture. They are spoken of here, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and sin offerings. They speak of the burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering, and the peace offering. Bullocks and lambs and goats had been sacrificed for centuries. And yet, they were an imperfect sacrifice. They could cover, they could not perfectly atone. Let me remind you here of the words of Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What a great redemption God has given to us. It's not only recorded here in chapter 9, but also in chapter 10. He continues and says of Hebrews chapter 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year to year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. No, only the blood of a perfect lamb could accomplish that. These sacrifices did not, but Christ did. They could not, they did not, they would not. The question is, what would? Now, again, here in Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, burnt offering and sin offering thou didst not require. So the question is, if that was not was what was required, if that was not going to be that that's satisfied, the question is, what would, what did? And in the midst of that statement, we have this phrase, mine ears hast thou opened. The Hebrew could also read, mine ears hast thou digged or bored. Hold your place here and turn back to the book of Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. You know your Bible. You know that Exodus chapter 20 was the giving of the law, correct? 10 commandments are laid out in Exodus chapter 20. And so now recorded immediately following the giving of the 10 commandments, Exodus chapter 21 verse 1 reads, Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Isaiah 40 said, mine ears hast thou opened, or bored, or digged. We notice that here in the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, that instantly makes all of us guilty because we cannot receive them without acknowledging we cannot accomplish them. We're sinners. How interesting that you go immediately from the giving of the Ten Commandments into this of the very first statutes to be applied to the children of Israel. And this work of a servant, a Hebrew servant, working for 6 years and going out on the seventh, but then choosing because he has a wife and family, or simply because he loves his master, that he will not go out. And he will choose to be a lifelong servant. Bond servant, as Paul would use the phrase in the New Testament. And all of that out of love. It is a love response to the plan it has called in need. So, we come to the sixth verse here in, come back with me to Psalm 40. So sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. But suddenly we have this phrase, mine ears hast thou opened. It is a reference here to this. It is a self-sacrificing response. So to the law that was given, to all of the laws that were broken, and God says, these sacrifices, though they are given by God, would never fully satisfy the righteous judgment against my breaking of those Ten Commandments. There was one, though, who would perfectly stand in my place before the Father. And he would, out of love, choose to have his ears bored or opened. Now, that's interesting enough. I want you to hold your place here and turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, where these very verses are quoted, but quoted with a slight difference. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 reads, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now here we have in Hebrews chapter 10 a biblical commentary to what is meant in Psalm 40 in verse 6, "Mine ears hast thou opened." Here he records it, "Sacrificing an offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." The obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ from humble birth to bowed head, all that he heard from the Father is portrayed in the hearing ear, the obedient ear. We have a problem with our ears, don't we? You remember the Lord Jesus even said, be careful how you hear. There are many people that they have spiritual difficulty actually hearing. Hearing is a problem. And yet hearing is so essential. In Proverbs 2:2, the scripture says, "Incline thine ear unto wisdom." In Proverbs 5:1, it says, "Bow thine ear." In Proverbs 20, verse 12, it says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." There's something about hearing. And of course, that immediately takes us to Romans chapter 10, doesn't it? Faith comes by hearing. So if there's something wrong with your ear, you don't hear right. You don't hear what God has to say. God has sent preachers out into this world to preach the word to ears that very often cannot hear. But I'm reminding you that we are looking here at the surrendered servant. Though he knows he will be put to death, though he knows he'll be mocked, though he knows he will embrace our sin, he steps forward and acknowledges that the sacrifice, the law that God had given, it was not going to be sufficient. And so he says, "The Lord has opened," as the scripture says here, "Mine ears hast thou opened." So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped forward, though you and I, violators of God's commandments, out of love for the Father and love for us, are we not His bride? Are we not the children of the Father? And so He steps forward and He acknowledges that His body is prepared for this one thing. The sacrifices of sin offering, burnt offering, peace offering, and meal offering, they would not be sufficient. The only way the sacrifice for us could be accomplished is if a body was prepared. So when we come to Christmas Day and we read the story of the birth of this babe, we have to project to the end of the purpose of that coming. He is a surrendered servant. But he's also the recorded servant. So we pick it up in verse 7. "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Lo, behold, I come," or "I am come." It is a joyous anticipation. And it is addressed who? It's addressed to the Father. "Then said I, Lo, I come." He's talking to the Father. He's addressing the Father, saying, "Father, I'm willing to come. I'm ready to go." And the words that you read here are not just words of mere surrender. They're words of anticipation. They're words of joy. That Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he came with great expectation and joy because of the love that he had for the Father and the love that he had for his bride that he would purchase and those that he would save for all of eternity. The ears of many did not hear. You even remember the accusation that Stephen leveled against those on that day. He stood before them and preached the gospel to them. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." They resisted God's word and resisted his truth. But for you and I, we've heard the gospel that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And so it is with joyous anticipation that the Lord Jesus purposes to fulfill this. And when is all this conversation taking place? Well, if we understand from the scriptures, we find in Revelation and chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." When are these words recorded? Psalm 40 is recorded before the world was created. Before Adam and Eve came, here is the acknowledgement that someday he'll rise from the grave. "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." With all of that expectation, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that sacrifice and offerings was not the perfect plan of the Father. Burnt offerings and sin offerings was not the perfect plan of the Father. All they were was a picture of what would be accomplished by that perfect Lamb that John would point to on that day, John the Baptist, when he would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lo, behold, here I am." Just like Isaiah would say, "Here am I, send me." Jesus says, "Here I am. A body you've prepared me. My ear hast thou bored out of love for the Father and out of love for all of the congregation that he would come to preach to in every century of time, Jew and Gentile both." It is as though the boring of the ear is the surrender of the entire body, because that is exactly what he did. So all that the Father had given him to do is portrayed in his hearing ear and surrendered ear. But he is a recorded servant, and in the volume of the book, it is written of me. But just remind you out of reading to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. The surrender that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his Father is the very surrender you and I certainly are obligated to surrender to our Father. So he is, in verse 6, the surrendered servant. In verses 7 and 8, he's the recorded servant. Verses 9 and 10, he's the proclaiming servant. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. You and I can see that right from the very beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stepped into that void of darkness, into that confusion, into that self-will of the Jewish mind and of the rebellious Gentile. And there, a body had been prepared. A body had been prepared for one thing and one thing only. To all of the sacrifices that God had given, they could not take away sin. But in this body, there would be one that in his death would take away our sin. Allow our conscience to be freed before God. And so therefore he preached that moral law. Exodus chapter 20. His ear had been opened out of love for the Father and love for us. He would surrender in the giving of his ear, in the hearing of his ear. It is the presentation of his entire body that would become a sacrifice, the fulfillment of that sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and sin offering. All of it accomplished for us. Oh, but he has to record here and rejoice what he has preached. He has preached the very righteousness of God. And of course, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that in throughout the book of Romans. It is the righteousness of God that the Lord Jesus declared, and therefore by it showed that I was condemned of that very law. But he stood before the great congregation and he said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And none could. The marvel that you and I rejoice in this season, to read these words and to know that that one, that holy thing that was birthed to Mary, this conversation had already occurred before the world was created, but would be accomplished in time. The volume of the book, it indeed is written of the Lord Jesus Christ and of this great victory. And so when he declares, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and set my feet upon out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, you and I were brought up with him. Each of us that have been saved by God's grace. So the Lord Jesus Christ has been faithful. Verse 9, he says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. And what had he preached? What did this righteousness consist of? He says here, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, I have declared thy faithfulness. Faithfulness. Not only declared it thy faithfulness and thy salvation, because those two things must go together. The faithfulness. That would be, first of all, faithfulness to his own word. A word that he had promised there in the garden. A word that he continued throughout the first 11 chapters. And finally, that was given to Abraham. Our Lord had been absolutely faithful in preaching righteousness, in declaring the faithfulness and God's great salvation would be none other than in him. Because he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man would ever come to the Father but by him. He had successfully completed the moral law. And just before the close of his life, after having raised Lazarus from the grave, the Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, if that ear is surrendered, the surrendering of the whole body, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This is a great psalm. You and I have the privilege to hear what was a conversation between the Father and Son. One brother writer wrote and said that the Father and the Son made this covenant together, and the Holy Spirit was the notary. He sealed and confirmed it. Oh, what he proclaimed was God's great faithfulness and salvation. But he coupled that also with God's loving kindness and truth. You and I, yes, we will remember that babe born in the manger. And we'll know, as the angel said, he's already the Lord, which is Christ, which is the Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. But he had come for this cause. So knowing this, seeing that the Lord Jesus had offered up his ear, which is in essence surrendering his entire body, to be the sacrifice that you and I could never satisfy. We've heard the message. We've heard it again and again. Just as the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, it is as though God did beseech you by us, Be irreconciled unto God. And so preacher and missionary, evangelist, moms and dads have laid out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, shown to their children and family and neighbors. The preachers have gone around the globe and they've told of this one who was the only one who could sacrifice himself, surrender up his body, who, when hearing all that he would go through, would submit his ear to be bored. In love to the Father, and in love for his bride and those that he would purchase, he would not go out free. He would surrender himself. Let me read just a couple of verses. I reread here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It says that the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that there would be a kindness that would be delivered and fulfilled in his promise to Abraham. And as the scripture goes on to say, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is our Savior, the one who covenanted with the Father to surrender himself. And so his ear had been opened, had been bored. Remember, as you read there in Exodus 20, it wasn't the man who chopped a hole in his own ear. It would be his master who would lay his hand on his servant. And so it is the Father who laid his hand on his son for you. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this one that has preached righteousness to us. And so the Holy Ghost, sent from heaven, convinced us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And yet in that declaration of our condemnation, gave us this precious word about a Savior who was come to pronounce peace between God and me, between God and yourself. And so he had not hid the righteousness of God from within his own heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And today, here we are a part of the great congregation. So you see, Psalm 40 singles out all of the redeemed of all ages, bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body was made for that sole purpose. It makes the remembrance of the birth of Christ all the more precious to us and gives us a fresh perspective. But then we take this whole psalm and we see ourselves in it. And we acknowledge that God did a gracious work in us. And he has brought us up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and he has set my feet upon a rock. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. But they're applied to me, and he has established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, that our testimony here in this particular season of the year, as we rejoice, we also remember. And we proclaim, and we should be as our Lord. I have preached righteousness. Here is your responsibility. I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Are we going to be able to stand before him with clear conscience that we have obeyed? Boy, I'm so many failings here. I've had to repent again and again in my life. He said, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. That's our great task right now, to be obedient as our Lord was obedient. We have surrendered ourselves as his bond servants, have we not? And we have the great responsibility and the great privilege to present our Lord Jesus Christ to a fallen world. What humility and surrender the Lord Jesus accomplished to save us. Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, oh, the volume of the book, everywhere we look, there's the picture of you. The very psalm we read, we hear you speaking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. These are your words. A body had been prepared for you. And so I thank you for this great salvation. I thank you for my brethren that have taken up the cause to preach the righteousness of God, to warn fallen sinners. And in this great congregation, each one has been saved in the same way, birthed by the same power, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. And Lord Jesus, we long for our children, grandchildren, families, neighbors. And we pray one more time and ask that the power of the Holy Ghost might open the ears and let the love of Christ be seen by rebellious lost souls who bow the knee and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, please follow your word. Please let sinners see all that Jesus was willing to do from eternity past in the conversation recorded before time, and that he would do that for them. Please have mercy, I ask, and bless the preaching of your word today to the disturbance and then to the saving of precious souls, and to the reviving of your people for what he's done for us. Help us to worship and praise him, live and serve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Number 183 in your hymnal, please. Number 183. You can join me standing as we sing these verses that we take to heart, considering what we've just looked at in the scriptures. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon that cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess. The wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of thy face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.